So welcome to another episode of Business Fumbles. Today's guest is, she's been doing this business for a while. I'm going to allow her to introduce herself and tell us a little bit about what her business was.
Hello, everybody. My name is Isabella, and I was the owner of Giggles and Tots Indoor Playground. I opened this business probably in 2015, when my kid was only 2 years old.
Oh, wow.
I opened it for them because one time we went, I didn't know what to do. In Nevada, sometimes in the summer it's too hot, in the winter it's too cold.
Yeah.
You don't know what to do with your kids,
mm.
especially when they're only 2 years old. So I tried to introduce them to one of the playgrounds. We went there. They like it. Unfortunately, I'm a cleaning freak. I'm sorry. This is me.
Mm-hmm.
So my son got very sick. One of my twins got very sick. I called the playground and I explained to them. I said, Vea, you have such a small little babies and toddlers, all kind of ages. You have to clean and wipe your toys. What they told me, we cannot do that. Because it's a lot of toys. It's very hard to do this for us.
Wow.
So after my son got better and I was telling my husband, let's do something for the kids. That's what we decided to do. I start everything from the scratch. I didn't know nothing about it. That was my mistake.
Yeah, you know what? I visited the playground several times. I took my grandkids and they loved it. And it was huge and exceptionally clean.
Guilty.
I would hope so, based on that intro.
You could sort of like smell the cleaning product, you know, and we laughed about it, but the kids really enjoyed it. And then you also had like a little place for the parents to sit down and have tea and coffee, you know. Was that originally the idea when you opened it?
Yes, it was the idea because what I said to my husband, he was my partner, because next to us it was the casino and from the right side it was the big movie theater. So I told him why we cannot do like a drop off.
Mm-hmm.
The parents can come here, drop the kids here, and leave or stay here, but for them, we need the area. So let's open a little bit a snack bar.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we actually had, and it helped us a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really nice.
You know what? It was not utterly nice. Sometimes people wrote in my, if you check the Google on Yelp, you will see, this woman is a freaking cleaning freak.
Yeah.
I was thinking, is it bad or good? I don't know what to do. What should I do?
It's a good problem to have, you know.
Yeah. Like, this woman is a cleaning freak. She cleans toys after the kids all the time, right away. I was like, what should I do now? How I should behave?
So explain to us some of the issues you found with running the playground, because you said that you started the playground, but you didn't do any research or whatever. How did that affect you?
So how did I start it? Like a regular person think, I have to get a real estate person. I need to see what is this location is. My advice, before you get the location, do the research.
Mm.
Do the demographics. Make sure it's a lot of family next. If it's according to my playground, because I need family with the kids. So I need the research and which one. It wasn't done that time because I was new and fresh.
Mm-hmm.
So, but thank God we made it. We made it this time, but you need to make sure the demographic is more important.
Yeah.
And more important.
And what was your startup cost? What did that look like?
Okay.
That sounds like a lot.
It sounded a lot because what you need to do, you need a business plan.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Which one? I didn't have it.
Yeah.
I did have it for the landlord, but I just went online, copy and paste. That's how I got, like everybody, I wasn't thinking about it. I didn't have no accountant. Nobody could help me out, who guide me through it. So I did what I think it was better for me that time.
Mm-hmm.
So the startup cost, I didn't realize it's going to be that high.
How high was it?
Like maybe $80,000.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yes. Just getting in?
It's not, you have to get all supplies.
Wow.
You cannot buy anything here. You have to order from overseas. It's cost you a lot.
Why? Why do you have to order it overseas?
Because playground here, if you get a playground, mm-hmm. you remember when you went to my place, it was the built-in playground.
So you had to do a lot of build-out.
Build-out. No, I could not. It was very expensive to buy from here. So I ordered overseas. It was much cheaper. But when you order from overseas, you don't know how to install it because they send you in their language.
Yeah.
they send it what?
Instruction in their language.
Yeah, it's for the people of that country. So
I cannot speak Chinese. My husband couldn't speak Chinese.
So how did you get it assembled?
Of the help of our friend and my husband. They're working hard. That's
hard work and perseverance.
Hard work. You didn't know that time. That's why they give me the rent only for months for free. So we were building for 3 months.
Oof.
So I was already in debt.
Yeah.
So I didn't know anything about marketing that time. This is my flaw. What else can I do?
Okay. So you, when we were there, the times that we went, it was pretty busy. How did you build that?
Yes. Word of mouth. Word of mouth.
That was your advertisement, pretty much?
It's not only advertising. I make some flyers. We went through one car to another. Because first month it was empty.
Yeah.
It was so empty. I thought I'm going to just close the business. And I said, oh my God, what I'm going to do? We put so much money into it. We pay for the rent. And rent was very expensive because the place was in Henderson.
Yeah.
Yeah, how much was the rent?
The rent was $5,200 that time.
Dang, that's high.
My place was big. It was 3,700.
Oh yeah, it was. Yeah, it was because they had the high, the high things where the kids could go up and slide down. It was really, really cool. And then she had several birthday rooms.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it was sort of large. And you mentioned that you put flyers on the car. You know, people don't do that type of marketing anymore. You know, because when we first moved to Las Vegas, mm-hmm. when we went to the strip, because of course, when you first move here, you're all excited and you want to, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know how they hand you out these little flyers mm-hmm. and everything. And they don't care if you want it or not. They just push it in your hand.
Yes.
But as we walked, I just noticed all of them on the ground.
Yep. Right. Yep.
They were just thrown on the ground.
Yep.
Whatever. And so, you know, coming from Chicago, the marketing for your business was, you know, those flyers. Mm-hmm. And then they would put them on your doors or they are slided in your doors at your home.
Mm-hmm.
But now, that's rarely used.
I could tell you probably why. This is just conjecture, but I do know that HOAs and city ordinances have been very, very restrictive on that form of advertisement because they want to protect their, you know, homeowners. They don't want them to constantly be bombarded with advertisement. Everyone has a business. Everyone's trying to promote. But imagine every single day you got people knocking on your door, not just talking to you about the Bible or anything like that, but also trying to sell you something. And mm-hmm. every single business is putting stuff in your door. A lot of HOAs put limitations on that. And actually in Henderson, I do know this, it is illegal in certain HOAs to advertise that way, to use flyers, to use pamphlets. If you have like merchandise like that, the cops can arrest you.
Wow.
Yeah, in certain parts of Henderson. So I did know that. So probably the reason you see it less is because they're trying to mitigate bad business from over-advertising and stuff like that. Uh-huh. But I feel like regular people like ourselves, they're like, well, now how do I reach people? Because so many people ruined regular advertisement, putting things in cars. That's private property too.
So yeah, well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that because I volunteer a lot. Mm-hmm. And sometimes knocking on the doors, you see of those flyers
exactly
and their thing. And I'm thinking to myself, why are they just letting this stuff go down there? And I guess it's really hard once those flyers fall down into the bottom of their screen door, it's hard to get out.
Yes.
So you see all of those. So... Right. Yeah, I guess you're right about that.
Oh, yeah. And they,
but it makes it hard
for people. Yeah,
for
yeah.
people to yeah. advertise their business. How are you going to get the people in there?
You got to spend more money and get an advertising company and do it the right way.
It's still money.
Yep, but more money.
Yeah, for us it was easy because it was big, huge plaza. At mm-hmm. the time, it was so empty. Nobody wants to do anything. Mm-hmm. So it was Leon Casino. It was the movie theater and us in the middle.
Yeah.
And I think it was ice cream place. That's it. The rest of the plaza was completely empty.
Wow.
Wow.
Yes.
So you guys were just coming in at the beginning of it.
Right. It was 2015. We were just coming in.
So how was it, you know, dealing with different guests? Because, like, right now, sometimes people can be very, very... rude and rowdy, sort of or that kid hit my kid. Did you have to deal with a lot of that?
No, thank God, no. But I love kids, so maybe that's why.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of parents leave the kids with us and leave.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we earned the trust.
Mm-hmm.
So I only had one kid when we have problem with.
Mm-hmm.
He came very sick. Very sick. And I have maybe at that time like 25 or 30 kids that time.
Mm-hmm.
He was something. I thought it was maybe chicken pox or something.
Why would a parent drop it off?
Exactly.
Like he had like
yes, ooh. He has like he has just a skin disease. I said, I apologize. At least I don't want to pride, but I just need maybe the doctor. No, I don't want to see the other kids get sick. So she got very upset. No, and she wrote a bad review because I didn't let her kid come inside the playground.
Now, why would you want to do that? That kills me when people can't get their way. They decide to go and do a bad review on a person and you ain't even got any service.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing a bad review for?
Yeah.
This is people's livelihood. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why people would do that.
They want to validate their negative feelings, I guess. That's pretty much it. Like, that's...
against a person that's trying to make a living?
Yeah.
Come on, you know?
Yeah. I understand. It's not only the second...
I think that's Haterade 101.
101.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I feel like, especially if it's something that's that readily seen and stuff like that, like, she casually goes, oh, it's just a skin disease. I'm like, ooh.
No. Okay. Let me ask you. Yeah. You want to bring your kid when you see somebody like this?
Yeah.
The whole skin from top to bottom.
Yeah.
No, me and my husband got on an airplane once.
Mm.
And we were, I can't remember where we were going. But the guy, he got on there and his nose was running.
Mm.
And this was like after
COVID. Yeah.
Mm.
And his nose was running. I don't know if it was before or after, but his nose was running.
Mm-hmm.
He was sort of sweaty, so I think he was feverish. And then he was coughing. And it was so obvious to everybody that this guy was sick.
Yeah.
And so when he walked past, you know, us to get in his seat and everything, my husband's looking at me. And then we're like looking at each other like, okay. And so he was sitting in the middle of two other people.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
You know, and then he's coughing and everything. And I didn't say anything, but I was thinking to myself, why would they let him on here? And it's a plane full of people. And so we thought that we were getting ready to take off and leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cops came in.
No way.
Yeah.
No, huh?
They came in and they went to him and they asked him what was going on. Uh-huh. And he was like, I'm just trying to get home. And they were like, obviously something's going on with you. We need you to step out. We have the paramedics there. They wanted to check him or whatever. And so he got up and he left. He never came back on the plane. But, you know, I guess the stewardess them seen it too. I mean, it was obvious.
Yeah.
And he had a fever because he was sort of like, you know, sweaty. Sort of mm-hmm. like. And his eyes were really like
small,
so yeah. He was sick. So when you have a situation like that, I don't think that, like, stay I'm home. Surprised that she would bring a child.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
if it was a skin disease,
yeah.
if it was my kid, I wouldn't want anybody to see yeah. his skin like that.
Yeah, or at least my thing is, if you understand, like, I've worked with people who have, like, food allergies and all uh-huh. this stuff and everything like that, they can at least explain what the allergy is, or they have, like you said, a doctor's note to
yeah,
show, like,
something.
Oh, this is what I can, like, oh, service animals. Everyone should have, like, a form. Yeah. This is my service animal, just right. in case. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, in case anyone asks, like, is this your pet or a service animal? That's a normal thing to ask. Like, oh, I just need to make sure that this is safe.
Right.
Safe, yeah.
If they just tell you, you'd be like, okay. And then your other kids get sick, and they're like, did you verify that this was a non-communicable
exactly.
disease?
Yeah, because it'll be on your business.
It's going to be on the ability
you.
On me.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
owner, you didn't protect our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I still think that's crazy that she didn't get service and she was able to
put
a bad review.
Bad
I don't
review,
think,
I
know.
Bad review.
I don't think
until
you could
now,
get,
it's still there.
Yeah.
Did you respond
yes,
to it?
Yes, of course.
You just said.
I responded and I said, protection of the other kids, you should... I apologize.
You
we
know.
We cannot let you in, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. we have to protect the other kids. You didn't have no doctor's note, no nothing, because it's supposed to be safe or not safe, or, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This is
sometimes
I have 6-month-old babies there.
Yeah.
I cannot
yeah.
allow to do that.
And the thing is, also, every business has the legal right to refuse service if
yeah.
they
yeah.
feel
service.
That it's necessary.
Yeah.
Unless,
sometimes they're taking it to the extreme, though.
I work in a restaurant.
You
trust
know.
Me. I've seen it.
I know.
Too far.
They're taking
far.
It to the extreme.
Yes.
And
yes.
That
but
irritates
I,
me a lot.
I do think in normal, like a normal thing, we just ask for a note, nothing
right.
crazy. We
right.
just want to see that. Yeah. That's fine. I do think some people just be like, I don't like you. and
yeah.
they'll say no.
Well, and they
I'm
shouldn't
like,
be doing that.
No, no.
You
that's
know,
crazy.
They should not be doing
that's
that.
That's crazy to me.
You know? So tell me a little bit about how it was with having employees, because I know that every business, right. including my own, we have problems with employees. How did you deal with that? Because I'm sure you hired young people. It's a playground.
It's cheaper.
yeah, cheaper.
You mentioned that, actually.
Uh-huh.
It was only two of us first, me and my husband, when we start, because we were just a brand new... business owners.
Uh-huh.
So my husband and with the two kids, he has to go visit his family, and he left me for 6 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Dealing with this business, plus I have my own job. So we decide, some friends told us, my daughter needs a job. The one I know him for so long, maybe over like 5-6 years. I trust him because we always mostly dealing with the cash.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Even so, you have a camera all over your playground and you obligate to put it. So I was like, oh, we're going to be safe. We're going to be okay. So she used to work from morning until I come to work. And I was so happy. We were so busy. We were making a lot of money. I didn't pay attention to anything. After 6 weeks, my husband came back and he said, you're missing some memberships. I said, what are you talking about? It's only me. And the girl, he said to me, okay, let's check. We have a camera right on the top. I said, okay. He went through the camera. He went through the membership. He said, I'm going to prove it to you. I did not want to believe it. I could not believe that somebody close to you can do something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So he looked at the camera. He found out what happened. And he said to me, I'm proving it to you. So he left her. When he came back, he said, to her, I'm not going to come back to work. You can work on your own. I will be coming later on. But one of my regulars, she usually buy the membership. Monthly passes. He asked her, please, can you buy $100 monthly pass? She said, sure. So when she bought the monthly pass, he called my husband. My husband run to the business, and what we see, the membership is gone. Ooh. And the money is not in the cash register. Mm-hmm. So he called her in and he said, you took the money. She said, no, I didn't take it. I didn't take anything. So he opened the camera. He called the client. And that's how we found out she stole almost $5,000.
Wow.
Wow.
Over how long of a period of time?
3 months.
Wow.
That's 3 months.
That's crazy.
Well, that's why you have to be careful when you're dealing with cash. I took on a job. I worked for Robert Half International. It's a temp agency, and I was a full-time consultant. So they sent me into a college mm-hmm. in Chicago mm-hmm. To help them, work there and help them to restructure things and put things in place. And so this college had two windows. It wasn't like most colleges where you can like register online and different things. They had a lot of stuff that they were still working on. So they had this one desk that was in front mm-hmm. for the people to, she was like the receptionist or whatever. And then she had to count the money. They had the trucks come in a couple of times a day, but we had to count the money, and then we had to give them the money and wrap it up or whatever. So the people would come in, they would pay their tuition, and they had the two cash registers, and then she would go up and empty the cash register, only leave a little amount in there, and then she had to count it out. Mm-hmm. And then you print the reports from the computer on how much cash was collected.
Okay.
And then they would keep so much as petty cash. And so what she would do was you would see her counting, and then they had a lot of vending machines. So all of that money would come in and be on her desk.
Okay.
And so when she would count it out, I would notice that she would always go into the petty cash drawer. And so she would want singles in the cash and the petty cash drawer. So she would count out these singles, and then it looked like she was swapping the money.
Okay.
Right? And so then what she would do mm-hmm. was once they picked up the money, she would go in her purse. Like she would need it change. And all of the extra money that she put in the box, mm-hmm. she was putting it back into her purse. But you would never know that because it looks like she was getting changed for her thing.
Ooh.
And then when they would bring the money from the vending machines, there was a lot of things that I implemented where they could see, like the people that's pulling the money out, they was taking money too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but with cash, it's so easy to steal.
Right.
You know, and if you have a person that's a thief, you know, we try to put things in place, but they're like three or four steps ahead of you.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Just like, you know, the episode that we had where we talked about, you know, the fraud and them, you know, tapping into your computers and stealing your identity and everything like that.
Oh, yeah.
They're putting things in place to stop that. But those people are like three or four steps ahead of us and they're laughing at us.
The only reason there are steps to stop them mm-hmm. is because we've realized that people are stealing from us. We're already after the fact. They've already stolen from people and have methods. We're just trying to play catch up to stop them.
Stop it. So right.
They're always going to be three steps ahead.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so what ended up happening in that situation?
So my husband wants to call the cops, and I said, we know this person. Her father came, cry, and beg not to press the charges.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm going to pay you everything. Unfortunately, until now, we didn't see not even a penny from him. It was 2016.
Wow.
Yes. You haven't got a cent?
No, not a cent. So since then, my husband, we don't trust nobody. He was working by himself and me. I can come and help him out. And no employees anymore. Because how you can trust somebody with the cash if you cannot trust somebody you know?
Now, that's sad.
That's true.
When you can't hire, I don't know. that I had someone that I trusted that was a friend. And then I left from my business. I left for 2 weeks, you know, when we went to Phoenix, you know,
and
I went early. And so I asked this person to open up the office, you know, go and pick up and deal with the clients. By the time I came back, I was getting emails like crazy of clients counseling services. And I was like, wow, that's weird. And so one of my clients, she was an architect, and she had counseled or whatever. And so then I was just like, So I called her because I wanted to know. And then, you know, with Amber, she always like, something is
something
is up, you know. And so I called her and I said, I just wanted to make sure that things was good, because when people counsel service with me, I'm always very, very nice, accommodating, give them their stuff. They can either even call me after the fact and I'll still help them, you know. And so when we talked to her, she said, yeah, the person was gave me a cheaper rate. I'm just waiting for the her to send me her credentials.
Okay.
And we'll go from there. And so then I didn't say anything. I was just like, okay, I didn't even ask who it was. And I, you know, repeated it. And, you know, of course, she was like, oh, no, mom, something's wrong, you know. So then one of the other ones that canceled service, he sent the email and asked me to send them a backup of the QuickBooks.
Okay.
So I said, okay, and I sent the QuickBooks through the email. And then the way that we do is send the password protected or whatever. Well, when he sent it to her, she couldn't open it. I had to give them authorization to open it. So you get an email saying, this person is trying to open up this file. Do you authorize them to do it? And it was her name.
Okay.
Oh, and I'm like, oh my God. So I called her and we did send a cease and desist and everything. And she tried to say, no, it wasn't like that. So then I called the other ones. I got all of them back. All of the clients that canceled, they came back to me because she didn't have the credentials. You know, and they came back to me. There was one that I wouldn't allow come back. And that was the one who asked me to give her access to the QuickBooks. And the reason why I didn't take her back, take them back, is because they knew she worked for me. And she had been there to their establishment a couple of times with me, number one. Then number two, she had went there a couple of times to pick up payments and stuff like that. So they were aware that she was my employee. So with that being said, you know, and you were going to switch because she gave you a cheaper price, that told me what type of people you are. I don't want to deal with shiesty people. You're shiesty because you knew that she worked. And then, you know, I was still nice to them. I still recommend people to their restaurant and everything. But when they came and said, oh, well, can you do the taxes? I'm sorry, we can't do anything for you. I don't deal with people like that. You know, because if you deal with people that would be shiesty like that on the little things, what do you think they're going to do on the bigger thing?
100%.
So you, when you're in your business and you find people like that, you have to, you know, you don't have to hold a grudge and you don't have to make a, you know, a huge deal about it. But you do have to protect yourself and your business.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
You didn't have no contract, no.
Yeah, we had the contract. That's why I was able to send her the cease and desist.
Right.
But why are you going to sue somebody over someone that you don't want back? He wanted to come back because I didn't really lose anyone but that one person, because everybody else came back. And yeah, you know, you are, you know, I have non-disclosures. I have all of that when they work here. And then It's so funny. You know how you were talking about the cameras. You know how Amber has these cameras all over here and she can see exactly what people are working on their computer. Yeah. It's hilarious. Mm-hmm. You know, and she was like, because you never know. And it's sad that we live in a world where these are the type of steps that we have to take in order to protect
yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, give people an inch, they'll take a mile. It's just... That you can't, it's not that you can't trust anybody, but you're gonna learn when you can't. You're gonna trust everybody till one person, like you mentioned, like that one girl. Now it's just like we don't trust anybody,
we don't.
It changes everything after
exactly.
that,
exactly.
Yeah,
that's it. That's yeah. why my husband started to work more and more,
yeah,
and he started to be. It's burning.
So you mm-hmm. never hired anybody else
no,
after
never,
that?
Never.
Wow.
Really?
We were open 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
We were never hired anybody since then.
So that means that you guys didn't take much time for yourself.
No.
No.
No time. No. Which it was a big mistake.
Yeah.
Did you or your husband ever get burnt out because of that?
Of course. Yes. That's why we decided we're going to sell the business.
Mm-hmm.
We want to sell the business.
Yeah.
So we had the clients who came, the potential buyer who came from New York. He likes everything. And what happened to us? COVID hit.
Ooh. So it was around that time. Yep.
It was that time. It was 2020.
Yep.
So he said, we're supposed to close the business because, of course, this is facility for the kids. You cannot be open.
Yeah.
Right.
So we stay closed for so long. And we still have to pay the rent. And we
you guys didn't get extensions on that during COVID and stuff like that?
We did a little bit, but we still have to, because they put in the back.
Oh, they charge you afterwards? Oh.
Yes,
yeah.
They put in the back.
Oh, yeah, they did that for
like retroactively?
Several of my clients. Ugh. So you didn't really get relieved of it? No. They moved it to the back of your lease.
Yeah.
It was like a zero APR loan for a little while kind of
thing.
Exactly. Yeah,
same
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
And the sad part about it is, I know for a fact the government gave them the rent.
Oh,
so
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. Oh,
if
yeah.
you
yeah.
had
oh, yeah.
a business, mm-hmm. you could apply for those loans, like those PPP loans and
yep.
all of that.
Yep.
They gave those that was facilities. Renting those business,
yes.
they gave them money
mm-hmm.
to supplement because the people couldn't pay.
Yeah.
And then
right.
all
and then they
did
asked for the rent on
the back
end
of
too.
It.
The yeah.
back on the
yep.
back
yeah,
of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so you
yep.
like a double dipping. You
right.
Know?
Oh, 100%.
Just double dipping.
Yeah.
So I know for sure the insurance paid them.
Yeah.
The insurance mm-hmm. paid them one mm-hmm. way or another. So my landlord that time was very nice to us. Mm-hmm. He cut our rent in half. So instead of 54, we were paying 2,200. But still, from where? We're not making any money.
Yeah.
Right.
And like a self-employment, that was our mistake. We didn't put ourselves on a payroll. If I had the account at that time, she will let me know, you guys, put yourself on W-2, put yourself on payroll, at least you are protected. Just anything happened to your business, you can go apply for unemployment or anything. The business can get insurance for it, whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We didn't do that. So we didn't get anything.
Yeesh.
Why didn't you do it?
I didn't have nobody cook. Because I didn't do no researches. That's what my startup was. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Now we go back. We understand why
now
you started with research.
Now I am smart. I know what steps need to be taken, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Before.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So we were close, I don't know, maybe for 7-8 months.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
some
sure.
of them had really, you know, I just recently came back from Chicago. And me and my husband were looking at, like the banquet halls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we're going to have our 25th anniversary party in Chicago next year.
Okay.
Because we make 25 years of marriage.
Congratulations.
And so, and so he was saying, you know, let's go to this place, you know, this banquet hall. Mm-hmm. Did you know that like two or three of them that we contacted was closed?
Oh,
because of COVID.
Yeah, I believe it. Yeah.
They lost their business because of COVID, and the banquet halls are not doing anything. Nobody is operating it. Mm-hmm. It's just open for someone to buy or whatever. And it's like, and I was thinking, you know me, I'm always like, well, why are they closed? Didn't they get, you know, the SBA loans, the PPP loans or whatever? And someone there said that a lot of people did not get it. Yeah. You know, especially if they were foreigners.
Yeah.
Right.
I did not know that.
They tried. I mean, I see both sides of the coin. Mm-hmm. They were trying to be selective with who they gave it because they just couldn't give money out willy-nilly. So if they had a reason to deny you.
They deny you.
Oh, they would deny you. Yeah. They'd be like, we can't just give it to everybody.
Really? So can you ask me this? Uh-oh. Riddle me this.
Uh-oh.
Why is it that we have so much fraud? We have people that, look, the lady from Atlanta, mm-hmm. she said she had all of these businesses. She got millions, brought houses, cars, all of this stuff. Then you had, what was it, a rapper or something like that? He got all of this money, brought a Lamborghini and all of this stuff. You know, and I know for a fact, and I'm sure you can back me up on this.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people that did not have a business. They created Schedule C's, and they got the money. And it was like maybe 10.
Oh, 100.
They create 941s.
941s, yeah. Yep. They have some, and those are government forms.
Yes.
Yep. The 941s are government forms.
Yep.
And, the you know, even the Schedule C's and everything, that's supposed to be in the IRS
database.
Yes.
Yep.
So mm-hmm. how was they releasing this money to these people that did not have businesses?
Not enough oversight. I'll just say that, because I can say from the employee standpoint, I know so many people in different industries, allegedly, who were double dipping. They were working and then telling the government, I need assistance. And they were making full paychecks during COVID and getting full paychecks from the government saying they weren't working.
Right.
And some
of them. Well, how can you do that?
Because it's in the system.
Yeah. They check and everything. And I know, this is why I know some people got caught. People got caught doing that. They're like, we know for a fact that you're doing this. I know people who did it by accident. They got it like the PPP loan for the like a restaurant or a business, mm-hmm. and so the person wasn't legal, like actually working, mm-hmm. but they were being paid by the business, like furloughed.
Yeah,
and
they
didn't realize they got both. Yeah. That was a simple mistake that a lot of people made, and they had to pay the money back
because they gave the PPP loan. Like to their, I got the PPP loan, but I paid my employees
exactly.
I kept them on the payroll.
Sometimes they didn't know should I apply for unemployment because I'm not working.
And I told my people. And I said, do not apply for unemployment because they're giving me the money and I'm going to pay you your check. And they got their check and didn't even work. They got their check every single
that happened to me
pay
too.
Period.
That happened to me too. And I didn't apply. And others accidentally did. And they were like, well, I wasn't working. I was like, technically, the employer should have told you.
Told you.
The employer told them they didn't pay.
Yeah, I told them.
they just didn't hear. But and it was a simple fix. But I know people for a fact who played dumb and were like,
same.
Oops, I didn't know I was getting paid on the side.
Did they have to pay it back?
The ones that got caught? Yes. Yes, they did. And I know people who are fined by the IRS.
Fined? What do you mean?
Like
penalty.
Penalties. Penalty. For lying and for multiple years. We're in 2025.
How you going to put a penalty on a lie?
Because
they can prove that they lied. They can prove.
You can take your unemployment back. You have to repay back plus the interest.
Yes. Like I know people who got hit with multi-thousand dollar fines.
Same. I know somebody who collect the unemployment from 3 states.
You know what?
That's insane. I've not heard.
Really?
Yes. 3 states. California, Arizona, and
here?
Nevada.
Yeah. Yeah.
And plus she was working.
Exactly. See, that's what we're talking about.
But did she ever get caught?
I didn't think so.
We'll have to see.
See, that's what I'm saying.
There's a lot of fraud. There is a lot of fraud. But there is a lot of those people getting caught, though. And they're getting those fines. And they're in trouble. Mm. I know they're in trouble.
Yeah. I know, it's funny. I want to say this, but I always thought, you know, when they were given the SBA loans and the PPP loans, I always thought that it was a setup because
by the government.
Because listen, they knew that a lot of people was gonna come and apply for that and create fraudulent stuff.
Yeah, it's free
they
money.
They knew
it,
and then they gave it to them, and now a lot of them, you know, like I know one, He was like, well, I'm going to get my hair cut because I'm about to get locked up because they got so much money, you know. And he know he was going to get locked up. They didn't care. They didn't care.
No, I
so I sort of felt like, oh, y'all did this. This was a setup because y'all knew everybody was going to run in there and get this money and so that y'all can lock them up.
I mean, it kind of works both ways. I kind of see the point. It's if you have a real business and you're struggling because there's a giant pandemic making everyone stay home. If we help you and your business thrives after this is all over, we benefit because you pay us taxes. You employ our people. That's great. If you're a liar, we will get our money one way or another. The IRS gets their money one way or another. Right. So it's like it's a win-win for us. We either promote good business or we catch bad people. So I kind of see it.
If it was you agree with me that it was a setup.
It was not a setup.
Not a setup. But if it is, it's not a bad idea.
Bad idea. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I can deal with that.
But did you see this? Yeah. How many people were staying? People don't have no money, no working at unemployment or PPP loans, lines, all this Louis Vuitton. Gucci was. I was like, oh my God, where people get this money?
The amount of busboys that I knew that had crazy new cars during COVID.
Really?
Because of the money coming in. I'm like, you realize the money's not going to keep
coming.
Yeah. How are you going to pay this 6-year loan at 16% interest for the next, like, after this year is over?
After the fact.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And a lot of them got their cars taken. So, you know.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
They said that. Yeah. They said a lot of houses and a lot of cars. Yeah. There was a lot of repo. And you know what? The whole time, I know I had this conversation with you and a few other people. I was just like, the whole time it was happening, I was just like, I'm scared. And they were like, what are you scared about? And I was like, well, our whole economy is running off of the government. The whole economy, our stock market, everything is running off of the government. Mm-hmm. When it's all over, and if it happened again, the government done used all of the money. What are we going to do?
They just print more.
Yeah,
they just print more and just put us more in debt. That's what it is.
Yeah, I was thinking that, but I don't know. I just think that, like, now look at our situation. We have someone in there that doesn't care. He's not going to sign off to give you no free money.
Yeah.
If you lose, then, oh, well, you lose.
Yeah.
You know, so that theory is somewhat coming true because there's a lot of people struggling now.
Right. Yeah.
And all they're saying now, you know, I hear more people. I get so many calls on people talking about a stimulus check.
Yes.
How about now, PPP loans? Is the PPP loan?
Yeah, PPP loans, or they want SBA loans and stuff like that. And it's like, there's no loans out there.
Yeah.
I get so many calls. I'm going to tell you, like, within a day, I might get maybe two, but I get a lot of text messages and are there any loans? Are there any stimulus coming? You know, and these are from business owners.
Yeah.
You know, so everybody is hurting right now.
I was going to say, a lot of people are looking for a break. It's getting difficult right now. A lot of people are cutting to make ends meet. People are scared to start new businesses and stuff like that. It's very volatile out there right now. This is one of those markets where you're like, let me hold on to what I got. Let me see if it comes back up. But because everyone's holding on to what they got, people who need people to spend money they're like, where are the consumers?
Yeah.
Where are the people and stuff like that?
They're afraid.
They're afraid. Exactly. Afraid, it's just one of those cycles. Yeah.
We don't know what's going to happen. You know? People holding what they can.
So did your business rebound from the COVID?
My business never rebound from COVID because my landlord, he has to sell his plaza, and the new landlord came over, and it started to put out, we have to pay back. They didn't put us in the back of the mortgage, on the back of the rent, we have to pay right away. It was the penalty. It was a penalty after penalty, and I was like, my husband said, let's try to sell it again, because I really want to get out from the business. I'm tired to work. I don't see my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working 7 days a week. Just let's try to sell it. We did. We try. We have a potential buyer again. Everything going fast. It was so good. We have to sign. He has to sign the lease with the new landlord. And what the landlord did? He said, we are not going to lease you.
How come?
He want to lease his own people. So we had to close the doors.
His own people. What do you mean? Who were his people?
his friends, him, I don't know.
You're saying he didn't want you to sell the business. Yeah. He wanted you to basically let him choose who's taking over.
He wants to choose who he's going to stay in this business. It doesn't matter if it's going to be playground, restaurant, anything.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want to sign the lease with my potential buyer. Because what happened to us, this was my mistake too. Yeah. We did not have a lease. We have month to month. And ooh, he can do anything.
Oh yeah.
He can say, just go, we are not gonna sign with anybody.
Oh, so he wanted you out of there.
He wanted us to be out of there.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
What's over there now?
A restaurant. The one already closed twice.
No way.
Since we left.
Well, that's what they get.
Yeah.
What kind of restaurant was it?
Korean barbecue.
Very successful here in Las Vegas.
Was the owner's Korean or whatever? Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, there's a lot of Korean places out here. It sells. So, but I mean, that's the thing. It's like there's so much competition. It's like they had to have known. It was going to take a while before they would make like a dent in the market.
He did, he let the people who was next to us extend it. So they thought they were going to mix because they see how much big traffic we had.
Yeah.
They thought they're going to come back.
Yeah.
And they extended. They took our spot and there, and they open up.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't work out.
Yeah. That makes sense.
See, you can't, you know, like I say that all the time. When you're underhanded and you're not doing business the correct way, it'll show. It'll come to the light, you know. And sometimes, you know, you get people that is going to speak negative about you and about your business. But I'm a firm believer, if it's for you, you know, it's for you. I don't care about what, you know, people say, you know, because I have a good reputation. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like that. And I keep that when situations come up where I think it's going to damage my reputation, I can't sleep.
Oh yeah.
I'm pacing the floor like, no, you know. And a lot of people that run their business, they're more concerned about the money.
Yes.
You
yes.
know, and the revenue that they're bringing
that right
in.
Away,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, they're more concerned. Me, I don't care about the money. I care about my reputation. And it's so funny because so many of my clients, they see, you know, how I'm like, "Oh, you know," and they're like, "Okay, calm down." And I'm like, "Nah, you're not doing that. Not on my, you know."
Yeah, exactly.
My reputation means more to me.
You're so passionate about it. Yes.
I think a reputation is also a business in and of itself. I think so many people that run a business, they look at the next big sell or the next big opportunity, and they're not looking down the line. They're like, "Well, I don't care that this opportunity may put a bad mark on my name, or I'm going to work with somebody that after this, no one's going to want to work with me," kind of thing, or something like that. Or I'm going to do a business practice that's like, who cares? It'll make me money in the short term, but maybe in the long term, it's going to hurt my reputation. They don't think about that. They think about the money they're going to make right then and there. I'll deal with the repercussions. It's the whole debt problem that somebody's in debt right now. I'll deal with that later. I'm going to make money right now.
What?
And I'll deal with the loss of my reputation later. Yeah. And they don't see that. But I'm like, but if you work on your reputation, if you're known for being a good business owner, for being a good restaurateur, for being a good, I don't know, like you had a good successful daycare and it's word of mouth. That's the number one advertisement for that. Parents going, "I trust this place with my kids."
Right.
Other people are going to go like, "Oh, I trust my friend. And if they say it's good with their kids, I'm not going to let anybody else be around my kids."
Exactly. Yeah. That's what happened.
Exactly. And I had a feeling that's probably what happened.
Yes.
Business owners, sometimes they forget that reputation is everything. Word of mouth is everything. Yeah. And they worry about Yelp and they worry about money. And that's the only thing on their mind.
Yeah.
And then it shows in the way of basically how their business dwindles. Because all they were so good in the beginning and they got a lot of big notoriety. They did big changes, but then just kept going
down. It kept going down.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, like really use Yelp and things. Like I do have reviews there and I do, and they're all good and everything. And people, they just do it on their own, you know.
Right.
But it's not something that I really advocate.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like a lot of companies will say, you do a review on Yelp, you do this and I'll give you this something. Or that.
Yeah.
And I haven't did that.
I would say for off our listeners who are looking at like reviews of things of that sort. Google reviews are a little biased because Google reviews are kind of like curated, like they're trying to reach out to people. What did you enjoy about this and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. Or they make deals with people and they're like, if you do this, please leave me a good review. I mean, I go on Airbnb all the time and it incentivizes you to leave a good review for your host. Everything's kind of curated for that, so you have to take things with a grain of salt. One thing I will say, Yelp, I don't trust.
Why?
Because Yelp, you don't make reservations through Yelp most of the time for like restaurants, for like a lot of businesses that you're going to go to. A lot of times for a restaurant, you go through OpenTable. For Airbnb, you go through Airbnb. Mm-hmm. For the hotel, you go through the hotel's website. Go to the actual business that they use to get reservations or get clients. Yelp is the place people go to after they have a bad experience. Go, I gotta let people know this place sucks. That's the first thing they do when they're mad, like what happened with you.
Right.
When they're angry, I gotta make sure the world knows this place sucks. That's where they go to Yelp. So you're gonna see the worst reviews of every business on Yelp. But you're not gonna
see. I thought everybody goes to Yelp.
No. Everybody does. There's a lot of normal people that go, but Yelp is like the first place people go to when they're unhappy.
And they're angry and mad,
It's weighted negatively. And the thing is, think about it. Like, I think about it from like a just you go to a business, you enjoy it. Most people go home and they go, that was a wonderful day. They don't feel the need to go out of their way to leave a review.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. No, but they do.
You're right.
Yeah,
you're
100%.
Right. Because I get a lot of clients here. Yeah. They don't ever like, oh, you want me to do a review? I don't get that.
Yeah.
I sometimes, you know, like all of my what I do now, all of the new people that come to me and I help them, I do ask them to do a video with me saying what their experience was.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I wait until they get the results.
Yes.
I don't do it. Oh, you came in. Tell somebody. I wait until they get the results and they're coming. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I get a lot of gifts.
Yeah, I do.
I get a lot of gifts. Like, oh, you know, they just come in and I wanted to give this to Sheila because she did such this for me and you know, I have this or that. So I get a lot of gifts, but you're right. I never get them saying, you know, I don't even look at Yelp.
No,
I really don't.
That's what it is. I think most people, if you're a positive person, you don't go to places where negative people hang out. So we you stay away from that kind of stuff.
Hey, that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I genuinely believe that. So I think that a lot of people who are happy don't go to Yelp. And that's why I think Yelp has a lot of very, very angry / pretentious people who like to talk. I'm not saying Yelp is a bad resource. It's good to see both sides. Like, oh, this is how they mess up with some people. And then you can go to their actual site that they use or whatever it is. Like, this is how the people who like them. Like, OpenTable for restaurants, I know for a fact, after you go, it'll send you a notification like, what did you think? One thing I actually appreciate about Airbnb, even though the model, I can get into what I don't agree about Airbnb for a while, but I do like that they ask you to put a public-facing review and a private one for the owner.
They
ask you to do both.
So
you could be like, I love this place. I love the room. I love the food. I love the sights. What would you tell the owner? Your smoke alarm wouldn't stop going off. Like, you know, you can do that. And I actually appreciate that. So Airbnb is actually pretty good about that. But that you have to look at each service. Everyone thinks that a review is a review. They're all the same.
Yeah.
They're all individual businesses and they have their own models. And you have to be aware of that.
I'm glad you brought that up, though.
Yeah.
Because they go and they put these negative reviews on Yelp, and sometimes it ruins the business. So, listeners.
Yes.
You hear me? Okay? Don't go to Yelp and stop doing bad reviews. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, if you're upset about the service, you know, I've seen them do now the live videos on going to a place, especially like for the hair places and they get bad service. I can fully understand that because it's not cheap to get your hair done.
No.
You know, I went to Chicago just like last week and my cousin did my hair. Shout out to Britt. And the service was, you know, not saying it because it was my family. I mean, she was just very professional. Hey, I got to get you in and I got to get you out. It wasn't a lot of, you know, oh, I got to take a break. I need to, you know, smoke or something because braiding takes a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like that. Hey, I got to get you in and I got to get you out. And that's that's that. So when you have service like that, I think that is worth giving a shout out.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, you do see a lot of negative stuff on Yelp and other sites. I implore people to, you know, put those positive things out there, mm-hmm. you know, so that it can help small businesses, because running a business is hard, yep. you know. And with our guest, like she said, she had to shut down due to COVID and, you know, the landlord not giving her, you know, a lease. So starting over sometimes is harder than initially the first startup. Starting mm-hmm. over is hard.
It's its own very problem. Hard. It's its own problem. Yeah. It comes with yeah. its own issues and stuff like that. So, yeah, for anybody who had to get back up after COVID,
yeah,
my hat's off to you. Yeah. That was a very
that was hard.
Time. That was hard for a lot.
You know,
of people.
And it was yeah. scary for this for complete society. You know, I remember just mm-hmm. driving on the strip and no cars was there, no people.
Yep.
And scary, now you yeah. go down there, it's flooded.
Oh yeah,
you know you
I can't get to work on time.
Make a right, no. right. You can't even make a right, a left turn because so many people are walking, and to see that it was just dead silence,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
that right there is a wake up call.
Yeah,
yep, it's yeah. a wake up call for everyone.
Yeah,
right.
But yeah, and I also you're mentioning about like the market and this like the way everything's going right now, like there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of people like scared to invest or spend money or even start a new business or grow. So, you know, that anxiety too right now, we could end up in a little mini, like we see something shut down. One of my favorite Chinese places out here shut down too, because they were saying that they were like people are going to eat out less because things are very expensive right now.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Again, business owners, we know it's yeah. it's not easy out there. It's a lot
easy.
Of
it's
work.
It's not easy. If so, you yeah. think it's easy, but it's not.
It's not, yeah. So do you think you will open up another playground?
We are thinking about it. Me and my husband are talking, so we are mm-hmm. thinking to move to maybe if my job has allowed me or transfer me, we are probably moving to New York.
Oh,
oh wow. Have you ever lived yeah. in New York before?
I do. I am originally from New York.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I was born in Brooklyn, so.
Same thing. I'm from Brooklyn, New York.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get it too far off. What area of Brooklyn are you from?
Kings Highway.
Oh, okay. My family's from like Sunset Park area.
Oh, I know where is it.
Yeah. yeah. Like 4th Avenue, 5th Avenue, yeah, like yeah. that. Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's what we're trying to do right now. We are putting our heads together and we see what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, you know, like I always think, you know, because I'm always looking for stuff for us to do as a family, and family is just not important anymore. So I think places like that are needed, because even when you go out, you know, you see a family there, everybody is in their phones. They're not yes. really communicating.
Sitting
They're
down,
not talking.
Sitting down eating.
You know,
and yes.
And for, think about it, yeah. like honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
What's the likelihood of parents, you know, the married ones and the mother or the father that's at home, they will visit places like the playground. But what about, we have a vast majority that are single parents.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's just not on their mind.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's needed.
Yeah.
Kids need, you know, yeah. you know, they need those types of places, the playgrounds and things like that, to get them out of the phones and the iPads and things like that. Yeah. Everything is online.
Yeah.
Think about when me, I'm 60, okay? You know, I'm going to be completely honest. I'm putting my age out there. But when we were younger, we were outside all day. You started at 9 o'clock. You know, your parents told you, you can't go past, you know, the tracks on this side. The street was, you know, don't go past, you know, 20th or whatever. You knew your how far you could go.
Mm-hmm.
And you and your friends, you were out.
Yep.
The only time you thought about home was when the street lights hit, because your parents said, you better be home before the street lights came.
Yep.
You know, so we were outside. We were active. You know, what's happening to our kids now. And those type of playgrounds are what's needed.
See, and the funny thing is, I think, obviously, all three of us here, we all agree on that. Obviously, yourself, you gave a space for families, for kids. Right. And you mentioned single-parent families. They need that because they don't have they don't even have the time to watch their kids all the time. Like, if they could have a babysitter, just take them there and watch that, it's like, good, because I need to work because I got to pay for all my kids and stuff like that. I totally understand that. But the thing that I think so many of us are concerned with this, and we would actually, like, if I had my own kids, I would get them to a park. I would take them out. I would go hiking and camping and blah, 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 blah. Get them to see the sun and get off their phone. But it's too easy to just give them an iPad and they can calm down and and that's what it is. I don't think it's that we can't get away from the phones.
It's just easy.
It's just easy. It's just an easy way. And when we're tired, it's so easy to say that right now. We're on a podcast. We're talking everything like that. Yeah. When you're tired and you just came home from a 9-hour day, you're hungry and you're sleepy and your kids are like, oh, dad, what do you want? And you're like, go play your video game. I just need a second. It's very easy to do that.
Yeah, that's true. 100%.
100%.
But we got to get away from it.
We do.
It has to, you know, and it's going to take, I think that the first step is what we're doing now is having the conversation.
100%.
Making it aware, you know, because you could talk and like you said, a lot of people's lives are busy. They got to make that money or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
But what are our kids going to become if it continues?
Exactly.
We have to break that cycle.
Yeah.
It's not going to be no family values. It's not going to be nothing.
Yeah.
No.
That's one of the things. It's funny because, you know, not to bring this up, that's one of the things that, you know, a lot of people were talking about, you know, with Trump. He wanted to see more family together in family, you know, and I think that that's a good thing. I don't, you know, like one thing that I don't do. Well, you know this, Tim. I don't do politics or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, when the narrative is real and it needs that conversation, I'm willing to open up and talk about it. And family needs to be important.
I think it affects, there is no human on this planet that wasn't born of another human. We need families. We have families. Some of us make our own, but family is essential to human life.
Yeah. Right.
And I think we're getting a little off of business, but at the same time, it's like, I mean, you can't have healthy businesses without family values. I really think you need family to promote. You need families
to support.
To support, to teach how to work, to teach how to, like, to inculcate the fact that, like, maybe you do want to start your own business. Maybe you do have that. We had, a while ago, we had Josh on here, and he was talking about how his family, his growing up, and family that wasn't his family, like the teachers, shaped his upbringing, and he realized, I want to start my own business. I want to be my own boss. You wouldn't learn that without a family.
Yeah.
We need that kind of stuff. Yeah. We need those values.
So you should be proud that you had a business that, you know, promoted family.
I was happy to help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was happy to help. Yeah. You see the smile on the kids' faces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the parents too, you know, when they just sit down and the Kool-Aid and see what the kids are doing, and then I'm worried about anything
else. Yeah, and then you take it easy and you watch them play. I was like,
So what's next for, you know, you and your husband? You're going to go to New York and possibly?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Go Yankees.
Oh, that is great. So I want to thank you for coming on. Like, I know that your life is busy and you're working and everything. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. Mm-hmm. And for our listeners out there, you know, tune in. We are on Spotify. We are on Apple, YouTube, under Business Fumbles. Mm-hmm. Or you can Google Sheila Williams or Timothy Fries. You'll see our name on it. And as always, please, come back and tune in to our next episode, and we promote, you know, positive things, and we want to see all businesses, you know, excel. And come, if you have a business, we welcome you to come in and sit on the couch and tell us some of the things that you experience, because when you tell others about your story, it helps them and their journey, and hopefully it helps them not to make the same mistake. And that's what Business Fumbles is here for you, is to shed a light on all of the components of running your business and unexpected things that might happen. And it gives you the insight of what other people done, and maybe you can use it to stop you from having those issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so again, thank you.
Thank you for having me here. Thank you.
All right.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
See you guys next time.
All right. Yeah.